Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Abide in Me. Based on Jesus' words from John 15, we read again, Jesus said, Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I encourage you to follow along with the sermon outline this morning on the green half sheet as we consider our theme, Abide in Me. Once upon a time, there lived a man whose nickname was Mr. Willpower. He claimed that he could do anything that he set his mind and his will to. He was a champion of what he called mind over matter. And people love to challenge his powers of the will. People dared him to walk through a bed of hot coals. They dared him to expose himself to bitter cold, scantily clad for an entire day, and he did it. Just a case of simple willpower, he said. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. On another occasion, they dared him to stay awake for 2 days, for 48 hours. And so he sat up in a chair for 2 days straight. Just a case of simple willpower, he said. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. On another occasion, they dared him to eat anything they brought him to eat. And he did. I won't list all the horrible things they brought him to eat, but he ate them all. Just a case of simple willpower, he said. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. But then they got him. They got him with a simple dare. We dare you not to die, but just stay alive by the power of your own willpower. No food, no drink, no sleep. Just stay alive by the power of your will. Well, a dare's a dare, and he took up the challenge. He'd stay alive by the sheer force of his will. But I guess you can suppose the outcome. Oh, he tried. But that was the last dare Mr. Willpower ever accepted. There are some things that our willpower just cannot do. And this is the truth of the Holy Scripture for today. We cannot will life with God. We cannot will a life of faith. We cannot will ourselves into eternal life. This is one way to take the words of the gospel lesson for today. Listen again. Jesus said, Abide in me, and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The Christian life is not a matter of our own willpower. Many people today have the mistaken idea that to be a Christian is something we'll do. Oh, just somebody tell me what to do and I'll do it. We know that we fall short. We're not the people God wants us to be. So isn't the solution that I just try harder? Try harder to be a better Christian, to have more faith, to make God happy with me. That's the right way, right? Wrong. So very wrong. Now, I haven't heard this commercial for a while. But Avis Rent-A-Car used to have this commercial. They used to advertise by saying, we try harder. That was their way of saying, don't rent a car from the number one company, rent from us, because we'll try harder to do the right thing. Now, I sometimes hear people talk about Christianity as if it were the Avis of world religions. What does it mean to be a Christian? These folks tell us, to me, a Christian means it's a matter of trying harder to live the good life, trying harder to be a better person than someone else. To be a Christian, these people say, is to try harder. Nothing is further from the truth. If you listen to nothing else in this sermon this morning, listen to this sentence. The basis of the Christian faith is not what we do, but what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We'll get back to that in a moment. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 14, 12, we find this verse. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of this way is death. The way that seems right to so many people is the way of good deeds, of good works, of trying harder. But the sad truth is, there is a huge gap between sinful people and a holy and perfect God, a huge gap that can't be bridged by our efforts of trying harder. Think of it this way. Here we are, sinful people, every one of us. And here is a holy and perfect and righteous God. And between us is a chasm, 10,000 meter chasm long, 10,000 meter chasm deep. Now we might say, I'll just try harder to bridge that gap. Now when I was in school, when it wasn't baseball season, I was on the track team. And I was a pretty fair running long jumper. This is in the prehistoric ages. But my running long jump was about 16 feet, a little over 5 meters. But because the chasm is 10,000 meters, I only missed it by 9,995 meters. Now, the world record holder, the Olympic champion for the running long jump, is over 30 feet, 10 meters. But he only missed it by 9,990 meters. You see, our good deeds, our trying harder, cannot get us right with God, cannot bridge the gap sinful people have between them and a holy and perfect God. And none of us can say, well, at least I'm better than so-and-so. I can jump 10 meters. She can only jump 5. That leaves you. That leaves me. That leaves all of us very, very short. Now, you'd think that church folks, now here's where we start preaching and start meddling. You'd think that Lutheran church folks would know better about such things. You think that we, whose very faith is based on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not of your good works, so no one could boast. You'd think we'd know better. But when a scientific poll was taken of 4,000 Lutheran church members some years ago, and they were asked this question, how do you hope to get right with God and go to heaven? 40%, 4 out of every person's response sounded like this, and I quote, by my good life, by being good, by going to church. That is, by trying hard or trying harder. But like the long jump illustration showed us, we fall woefully short. The reality of our sin dashes all hopes that we can get right with God and abide in His good graces by our good deeds. Listen to Romans chapter 3. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The good news, however, is this. And here's the second of the three times I'm going to speak this sentence again. So tune in again. The Christian faith is not about our trying to be good. The basis of the Christian faith is about our perfect Savior Jesus. Christianity is not about what we do, but what God has done and is doing for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a perfect life without sin. He went to the cross to pay for your sins and for mine, to bridge that gap between us and a holy God. On that cross, he gave his life to pay for your sins and for mine. And on that cross, he overcame sin and death. On that cross, he produced for us the bridge. His cross is the bridge that connects sinful people to a holy God. From that cross and from that grave, he arose to give us God's power, the power of the forgiveness of our sins, the power of his Holy Spirit living us through the waters of our baptism, so that we can say no to the devil and no to temptation. And the very life of God he gives us, the life of God now and with him forever in eternity. But as Jesus said in our gospel lesson, this power and this life, and as our children's sermon so aptly showed us, this power of God and this life only comes to us branches as we abide in the vine, who is Jesus. If we cut ourselves off from the power source, if we cut ourselves off from Jesus, who is the vine, we wither and we die. Listen to Jesus' words again. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. When I was a seminary professor in Edmonton, my former life, before coming here, I would travel once a year or so to our sister seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, near Niagara Falls. And in that Niagara area, when I wasn't teaching in the classroom, I would be, as you might suppose, on my daily long runs or on my bicycle that I rented to notice and to take in all the area. I especially enjoyed the acres and acres of vines and aromatic grapes. One day I approached a man who was tending the vineyards. And when I asked him, "Hey, buddy, tell me, what's the secret of good grapes?" Let me quote to you what he said. He said, "The branches need to constantly be checked to make sure they're lifted up and firmly connected to the main vine. If they get separated from the vine and lay in the dirt, they soon shrivel up and they die and they bear no fruit." Truer words could not be spoken regarding our relationship with Jesus, the true vine. But here's the good news. Jesus himself provides the means we need to stay connected. Jesus himself provides the means we need to remain firmly connected to that vine, that we might be lifted up to bear good fruit. He comes to us three ways. We'll talk about that briefly today. He comes to us in his written word, his spoken word, and his visible word. My friends, when we take time to personally read and study and meditate upon God's written word, the Holy Bible, or when we take time to attend one of the many Bible classes offered here in this place, Jesus comes to us, and he speaks to our hearts, and he takes that written word and plants it like a seed in our heart so we are connected to him who is the true vine. When we really listen, and pardon the pun, are you listening? When we really listen to God's spoken word from the pulpit, and the Holy Spirit applies it to our life, Jesus again comes to us. Now, you've experienced this, and so have I. The preacher has spoken a word, or a phrase, or maybe an entire sermon. And during that time, you just know that God is speaking to your heart. And you wonder, and maybe you even say to the preacher afterward, God was speaking just to me. How did you know what I needed to hear today? The preacher didn't know. God knew. And in his spoken word, Jesus comes to you again, that he might connect you and attach you to himself, who is the true vine. When we see, when we experience, when we receive the visible word of the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, Jesus, the true vine, comes to us. Every time that water is applied in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is truly present at that font, welcoming a new and precious soul into his kingdom forever and reminding each of us here of our own baptisms as he comes to us to lift us up and reconnect us to himself, the true vine. And every time we kneel here, every single time we kneel here at the Lord's altar and receive his precious body and blood, Jesus comes and gives us a gift. He gives us the gift of himself. One of the names for Holy Communion is the Eucharist. And Eucharist means a good gift. The gift is Jesus in, with, and under the bread and wine. The gift is the forgiveness of our sins. The gift is the strengthening of our faith. Every time we see and taste and feel the Holy Communion, our Lord Jesus comes to us again to reconnect us, because you know how true it is in your life, how easy it is to become disconnected from your Lord. So in his written word, in his spoken word, in his visible word, he comes to us to reestablish that connection. My friends, there is no room in the Christian faith for Mr. Willpower or for Avis Christianity. Here I'm going to say the sentence a third time. Christianity is not about what we do. Christianity is about what God has done and is doing for us in Jesus Christ. To wrap up this message, I want to share an embarrassing story from my own life. It was North St. Louis, 1977. It was in the fall. I was starting a new term at the seminary there. I had just moved into a new apartment on the north side of the city. And after hours of lifting boxes up and down stairs and what little furniture I had up those same stairs, I was tired, but more importantly, I was hungry. My fridge was empty. So I ran to the nearby store to get the quickest thing I could find, that staple of the single man's diet, a frozen pizza. Quickly taking out of the box, I put it into the oven and turned on the oven, but nothing happened. This was the first gas oven I ever had. I was used to an electric one. No matter what I did, I couldn't get the oven to heat up. Now, I didn't want to mess with the gas connection on the wall, so I didn't know what to do. After an hour of me getting hotter and hotter, as the oven was getting colder and colder, and likewise the pizza, I finally swallowed my male pride and called a repairman. I was quite happy when he was at my apartment in less than an hour. Now, remember, this was 1977. And in 7.2 seconds, or thereabout, he got the oven to work. As he stood up to leave, I had to ask the question, well, what was the problem? I just couldn't get it to work. What did you do? What did I miss? The repairman looked at me with a look that only a man who'd been in the business for 40 years could have. He looked at me with the look of a Missouri good old boy. The repairman looked at me with the look of pity and humor. And here's what he said. The electric cord wasn't plugged into the outlet. Next time, don't unplug the power. I was humiliated. His laughter didn't help, but soon I began to laugh. No one told me a gas stove had to be plugged into the power source. So from this day on, as Mr. Fix-It, if anything doesn't work, Herb, I'm going to make sure I check to see if it's plugged in. What's the point of this story? My friends, here's the point. Our dear Lord Jesus says to you and today, says to you and me, our dear Lord Jesus, who laid his life down on the cross for you and for me and rose to give us victory, our Lord says to us, my dear ones, don't unplug the power. I have provided for you, Jesus says, the very power source you need. Stay connected to my written word, to my spoken word, to my visible word in the sacraments. Please stay connected, and I will give you all that you need. Don't unplug the power. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are my branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. My dear friends, stay connected. In the name of Jesus, amen.